The memorial was held in the side chapel of my church in Montreal, just a small gathering of people. I don't recall much about the service, but among the many words that were said, a few stand out, in particular those spoken by a grieving son. He looked at those who were gathered and with a smile on his face said about his mom, "You know, she's not gone. She's right here with us." If I remember correctly, he then looked up and spoke as if directly to her, a demonstration of his faith that she was right there. Now, I'll be honest, I felt sorry for the guy. I mean, it was clear to me that his mom's death had changed things irrevocably, yet he seemed to be somehow in denial. And then I couldn't just buy that assertion that, well, that she was resting in the universe's good care. I mean, I've never been convinced that the universe is kind and compassionate. I mean, insatiable black holes, catastrophic meteorites. I mean, do we think the universe is loving? His faith sounded naive and unfounded. I've since attended a number of celebrations of life that express similar sentiments. There is usually no sign of the dead person. I mean, no ashes and, God forbid, no open casket. There are just, you know, martinis and happy faces, people sharing funny stories and happy memories. On the one hand, death is denied. And on the other hand, there are unsupported assertions that the person is in a better place. Do not stand at my grave and weep. I am not there. I do not sleep. I am a thousand winds that blow. I am the diamond glints on snow. Well, today's gospel lesson is certainly no celebration of life. We encounter death in its harsh reality. Jesus has received a message about a sick friend, Lazarus, but he doesn't make any quick plans to visit. And during the delay, Lazarus dies. Jesus speaks to his disciples euphemistically about Lazarus having fallen asleep. But when it's clear that they don't understand, he puts it bluntly. Lazarus is dead. Knowing that Lazarus is dead, Jesus now decides to visit the family. But when he comes to Bethany, the funeral has already happened. Lazarus' dead body has been attended to and placed in a cave. Friends have come from nearby Jerusalem and are now mourning with the family. Jesus is late. 4 days have passed. In Jesus' day, people believed that a person's soul remained near their body for 3 days. They remained near the body for 3 days, hoping to re-enter it. But then on the fourth day, seeing that decomposition has set in, that soul would depart. Well, our story tells us that 4 days have passed. The funeral is over. Lazarus's body is rotting. Jesus observes the grief of the family, and Jesus mourns too. And it becomes clear to us that being a friend of Jesus doesn't exempt you from getting sick and dying, that asking Jesus for help won't prevent you from facing loss. Death is real. It's part of the world we live in. Listen to the lament of the psalmist. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Death is real. It's a part of our lot in life. We are born, we live, and we die. Death is real, so our story teaches. But death is not final. Death is not final, we realize as we read on. We are shown that despite the reality of death, those who trust in Jesus still have reason for hope. not that we might avoid pain or loss, but that we have a promise of life after life and death. As we continue on in the story, we see how Jesus himself is moved by the family's grief. Jesus mourns with the family, and then Jesus asks to see where Lazarus was laid. When they arrive at the cave, the tomb that was used for Lazarus's body, Jesus asks for the stone to be removed from the entrance. Martha doesn't want to. Well, she knows that Jesus has a special relationship with God. She also knows that her brother's body is decomposing. They were suffering enough and didn't need the smell of death just so that Jesus could see him. But Jesus insists, and so they relent, removing the stone. Jesus prays, and Jesus calls out, "Lazarus, come out!" Lazarus, come out. Lazarus hears his good shepherd calling his name. And the dead man comes out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. It's an astounding miracle, isn't it? Commentators note that it's a good thing that Jesus didn't Jesus mentioned Lazarus by name. Otherwise, there might have been a whole bunch of dead people wandering, now alive and wandering around the neighborhood. It's an astounding miracle meant to illustrate what Jesus told Martha earlier. "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die." Now, just to be clear, the words and actions are not a denial of death. Remember that Jesus allows Lazarus to die. Like, it would have been a whole different story if Jesus had come at the right time, right? No, Jesus allows Lazarus to die. So this is not a denial of death. But the words and actions are a sign that death is not the ultimate condition. It's an illustration of the assurance of everlasting life beyond the grave. So, have you ever wondered what happened to Lazarus? Ever wondered how this experience of being called back from the grave affected his life and the life of his family? If you read further, you'll see how this sign gave rise to great controversy. I mean, many put their belief in Jesus when this happened, but when the Pharisees heard about it, well, they started worrying about their place and position, and they determined to have Jesus killed. More than that, they started planning to have Lazarus killed as well. I mean, he was a walking sign, a walking testimony. Now, Scripture tells us how things play out for Jesus, his death and resurrection. But as for Lazarus, well, we need to rely on tradition. There are a number of theories about what happened to him, but according to the Eastern Orthodox Church, sometimes after the resurrection of Christ, Lazarus was forced to flee Judea and came to Cyprus, you know, that island in the middle of the Mediterranean. There, they believe, he was appointed by Paul and Barnabas as the first bishop of a city in southern Cyprus. And it is believed he lived there for 30 more years, and on his death was buried there for his second and last time. Now, I can only imagine that Lazarus' final funeral was somehow different than the one before it. I'm sure that as a bishop, his death would be mourned widely. I can only imagine that, like his first funeral, his family also wept and mourned the fact that he would no longer be with them. But I can't help imagining that there was a real hope that permeated that gathering, that there were songs and lots of laughter as well. Not a denial of death, not a contrived happiness, I mean cocktails and stories, not an unfounded belief in the generosity of the universe, but a deep-rooted trust that Jesus would keep that promise of eternal life. I mean, it was his story, his life story, was that sign, that demonstration, that while death is real, it isn't final. When Jesus called him from the tomb, his body was reanimated, all to teach him and the church following after him that one day we too will hear our good shepherd calling. And we will resume life, not in these bodies that wear out and age and decay, but we will receive new bodies, resurrected bodies, and that we will enjoy eternal life with God and eternal life after life and death. As those who trust in Jesus, we don't need to deny death, because death, while death is real, it is not final. As those who trust in Jesus, we have more than a vague hope of a possibly benevolent universe. We have the assurance of our loving Heavenly Father who offers us eternal life in His Son. In the face of death, may we have the grace to trust in this promise, and may we not be afraid. Amen.